last evening about the tragic and very unexpected and shocking death of Father Joe Marino. So today, I ask God's help in my morning prayer to try to have the right tone through this Mass. That's why I acknowledged at the beginning and in my homily the death, but also these people were here today. Besides praying for him, they were here to prepare ourselves for this year of faith. And we're trying to re-energize the faith of the Catholic people around the world. But I feel hollow inside when I think of Father Joe.
Bishop Malone, we know you've only been with the diocese for a short period of time.
A couple of months.
Had the opportunity to ever meet with the Father?
Well, as you say, I'm just getting around and meeting people. I met with Father Joe, actually sitting down for a conversation for the first time this past Tuesday. To discuss his change in assignment. And he said, I have a recommendation for you, Bishop. I said, let's hear it. He said, I love hospital work, and if I could be a hospital chaplain, I would be delighted. And I said to him, we can certainly consider that. And so as a matter of fact, at a meeting later in the week, we think we did work out how he, well, I have to say now, how he could have been appointed to such a mission. He's very, very, very good. With anybody in trouble, especially with the sick.
There was no, at the time, there was no decision as to where he was going to go, though, is that correct?
No, I wanted to explore with him. That was the whole point. What would be it? He wasn't, of course, at St. Lawrence. He had never been assigned there as pastor or administrator. I think you probably know that. There was a deacon and his wife, the Weisenbergers, who I think for 7 years were the parish administrators. And when that happens, we ask another priest, without any administrative responsibilities, to take care of the sacramental, celebrate Mass, your confessions, and all of that. And Father Joe did that in an exemplary way, and even shared himself beyond St. Lawrence with all kinds of other people. It's a terrible loss.
There were a number of parishioners that had hoped that he maybe would be able to take that role. Is that something that was being considered, maybe?
Well, you know, that happens. It happens in every parish. It's very unusual when a beloved priest is transferred, and people are not upset by that, you know? I mean, people were upset, believe it or not, when I was taken from Portland and sent to Buffalo. You know, they get accustomed to someone they come to know and appreciate a bit, and certainly the outpouring of love and sorrow around Father Joe's death is a sign of the esteem that people hold for him, no question about it.
People have talked about how he might have seemed despondent after his reassignment. In your meeting with him, did that come across at all?
It really didn't. I found it to be, we met for about a half hour, and we talked about all kinds of things. And when he left, he said, thank you, Bishop. And I also thanked him. And I said, we had arranged for him. And I saw something that was incorrect in some mailing that came to us that said he didn't have a place to live. We immediately arranged for him to live at St. Bernadette's in Orchard Park with Father Paul Seil. So he had immediately a place to go, and I think he had lived there in the past at some point. Had he? I'm not sure of that. So that was going to be probably his temporary living situation until we nailed down the hospital chaplaincy, which we were working on.
What have people in the parish or in the diocese told you about what kind of guy Father Joe was?
Well, they told me from the day I arrived how Father Joe was always there, not just for his parishioners, that for sure. He was always there for anybody in need. I mean, I think we'll hear more and more of the legend that Father Joe is as the days go by. Everybody has heard how he would drop by the police station or the fire station, and not just at moments of crisis and trauma, but just to spend time as a shepherd. Would spend with those folks, usually bringing pizza with him. He's kind of known as the pizza priest, I think. And I've heard the story of the blizzard, how he was out there when cars were stuck in a blizzard, whenever that was.
Maybe 2006, the October storm.
Maybe, yeah. But he was out there where the cars were stuck in the snow, bringing people food. I mean, the stories abound of a good shepherd.
Does he represent a lot of...
Can you talk a little bit about why he wasn't appointed to St. Lawrence?
No, I can't. That's, okay. Those are personnel matters that we don't discuss about any priest transfer.
Was there any inkling at all that he was despondent or that he...
Not to me and not to anybody I've spoken with. Now, that's a small circle of people. This tragedy just happened. So I don't know what we'll hear. I don't know if anybody did notice any signs of despondency. I did not see that when I was with him on Tuesday. He was anxious to learn what he would be moving on to and ask for hospital work, which I was going to honor.
Does this kind of death, it's so different than any other kind of death. Does it hit you and the diocese differently?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was like, how do I describe it? It was like a punch in the stomach. I woke up again this morning and felt that hollowness. I call upon my faith. I mean, what we were saying at this special Mass for the Year of Faith, I thoroughly believe that Christ in his resurrection conquers death ultimately. So there's hope here. But it doesn't take away the sadness, the pain, the confusion. This is really a Good Friday experience for all the people who knew and loved Father Joe. But my faith helps me through it, but it doesn't take away the pain. And, of course, he and I have no history. After a while, a bishop develops, you know, a friendship, a relationship with all of his priests. And then you've got a history with him. But the first time I actually sat down and spoke with Father was this past week, just as I did with another priest earlier in the week with a change of assignment. It happens a lot.
What do you say to the parishioners? They're upset. They're hurting. Some of them are disappointed, angry. What do you say to them as their leader?
I say to them that I understand the pain and the suffering they're going through. I really do, and I know I can't take it away. But I'm with them in prayer and other ways. We're going to provide counseling down there, of course, for those who need it. We'll find ways to gather the people for prayer, and hopefully that will be consoling. But I know I can't take away what they're going through. I can just be in solidarity with them as we all go through it. The priests of the diocese feel it as well, of course. There's a strong fraternity that develops among priests. And now I'm one of them, but I'm so new that everything is just kind of coming into place.
He knew of the St. Bernadette's plan. It wasn't like...
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
He knew he had some
place. Oh, yeah,
know.
Absolutely.
And that he had a future as a chaplain or something else.
Yep, okay. That's right. I told him we would work out the chaplaincy thing. I just wasn't, being as new as I am, I wasn't sure which chaplaincies were open. This is a huge operation we have in the diocese, trying to staff everything. And as a matter of fact, we did have a couple of chaplaincies I discovered when we met as a staff on Thursday. So one of those was going to be his.
And that was an idea, like you said, that he
Yeah, he said, may I make a recommendation for my... That was the exact word he said. And I said, of course you can. I said, I don't know. I can't promise we can honor it. But I said, I will try. And so when he mentioned hospital work, I said, I'm very open to that that ministry. Because he has a proven track record in serving people who are sick and confined. It's just all very, very tragic and very sad.